Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We just had the Hall of Fame game, first preseason action of this NFL season last night. And if you want to go to the Saints' first preseason game against Jacksonville Sunday, August 17th in the Superdome, you can score two premium tickets to the game and cheer on the black and golden style. Entering is a breeze. You just got to go to WWL.com/contest for your chance at a pair of tickets. Remember, you can enter once a day, win tickets to the Saints preseason showdown against the Jags from Saints Radio WWL. And that's actually the second preseason game, the first one at home. The first exhibition matchup will be not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. Correct. At the LA Chargers. And pretty soon you'll be getting ready to head out to the West Coast. Practices on Tuesday and then flying out Wednesday.
Yep, SoFi Stadium, my least favorite stadium in the NFL. We go there every year, it seems like. Sometimes twice. We'll be there twice this year.
Yeah, right.
It's coming quick. It's coming quick. We got two practices, then a day off, then one practice, and then we're out there. So, and it's a weird trip too. Like I was talking about the schedule. Like, it's kind of a fascinating decision to go out ahead of the game, practice for a couple days, play the game, and then stay there for like three or four more practices, and then fly home, considering that's a game week. That's a home game week, like you just mentioned. They're playing the Titans. Is that right?
No, they come home to play the Jags.
Jaguars. Right. I feel like they play the Titans every year. But yeah, the Jaguars and then the Broncos to close it out.
Right.
But that'll be almost like a road trip because you'll be coming home from California ahead of that game. So, no, it's going to be a wild couple of weeks.
Looking forward to just getting into that game action. Yesterday's practice, we got a little more of that real live feel because of the work they were putting in. You mentioned the players being all excited, and I think the media was as well, too. You weren't looking down at your clock going, oh, how much is left to this session?
It's the most fun I've had at a practice in several years.
I don't know how long, right?
Right. It was fun. It was genuinely fun. And one of the reasons, and, you know, this is kind of, we've seen refs at practices before. I have never seen a training camp with refs at every practice. And yeah. You know, like the NFL will send the crews around and you'll have them and a lot of times they'll sit with the team and like go over points of emphasis for the season, answer any questions if there's confusion over the rules. But that's only for a handful of practices. Kellen has gone around to high school refs and had them come in and ref these practices. And now you'll get some sketchy rule interpretations because the rules at the high school level are very different from the rules at the NFL level. And the players may have some gripes about how things are adjudicated, but I do think that it creates an atmosphere where, you know, especially for the defensive backs, they're held accountable for holding, for pass interference in ways that, like, in normal practices without the refs, it'd be like, that's probably a hold. Maybe you'd have got away with it. Maybe you wouldn't. So there's an accountability level that goes with that. And that's why when, you know, there was that end of the practice sequence where Jake Haener led a 2-minute drill for a touchdown, there was a penalty, a pass interference in the back of the end zone. You had an untimed down. He finds Mason Tipton for the go-ahead touchdown, and it's like pandemonium, right? But I think that's good training. Like, things like that happen. You don't agree. There's a lot of blown calls in the NFL. You have to adjust to it. You have to react to it.
I love when Coach Kellen Moore was asked about it. He goes, it doesn't matter.
Well, it was funny because he was like, we just said that. I'm like, you didn't really say that. But that's what he meant. It was like, it's not about whether the call was right or wrong.
Right.
It's about how the players reacted to it. And I think it's a great sign for the offense that they were able to just lock in, score that touchdown. And it's not a great sign for the defense that they allowed it to get to them. And, you know, it is what it is. But either way, like, the energy at practice and the vibes and everything, like, you don't want to read too much into it, but it does feel like there's a level of energy around this team that's very positive right now.
Another guy that's positive with the black and gold, Alante Taylor, heading into a big season. Looking forward to what he's going to be able to do in this Brandon Staley defense. Jeff and I caught up with him the other day at Saints training camp, so let's hear what Alante Taylor had to say.
Yeah, you know, when we talked to you in the offseason, you talked about, you know, Brandon Staley and how he's going to use you in this role and kind of that Jalen Ramsey kind of vision. Is that kind of what you've experienced over the last couple months as you've gotten into this?
Yeah, I think I'm playing exactly kind of how he played it, which feels good. So super excited about that, though.
looking at your ramp up before getting here for camp, and things happened, obviously, OTAs, mini camp, but what was your offseason like getting ready?
No, I did a lot of self-scout. I did a lot of old film study on myself and figured out, you know, two or three of my weaknesses that I could have improved on this year. You know, attack those, and I feel like I've been able to work on those first four practices. Definitely gotten better in those areas, and we'll continue to work on those things. And obviously the things that I've already been good at, just keep working at those and keeping those strong. But, you know, with this new role, just kind of knowing my role and knowing the defense feels good to do. And I think the second thing I did the most was just watch film and just know the playbook.
I remember when we talked to you when you first came into the league, you're talking about your eye discipline a lot. You know, and I'm just curious, over the years, is that something that you just have to keep working on, especially in a new scheme, and just how you see certain things as you're operating the defense?
Well, that would be one of the things I attacked this offseason. With this defense, and I don't got to see too much. I think with the old defense, I had to see a whole lot, and I think that's where, like, I kind of had some trouble. With this defense, though, man, I know exactly where to look. I know what I'm looking for. I know exactly what my role is. I know exactly where to be. So that just allows me to just play freely, man, just kind of play my game. And so I appreciate that from Coach Staley, but I think that's what's going to allow me to make a lot of plays this year.
We had an alpha dog leaving the secondary with Tyron Matthew retiring, but, you know, you still have a big dog in you leading this team. Do you feel like that leadership role, you need to even amp it up another notch going into this year?
No, I think I'm going to just stay true to myself. Tyron taught me a lot as far as how to be a leader on the field, off the field, here in Louisiana. I think just being myself, and like you said, like alpha dog, I'm already a leader. So I think trying to force it too much would be too much of a leader. I think you got to kind of understand your guys. We got a lot of new guys in the room. So getting to know each player, getting to know, you know, what's their why, what drives them, so that I can lead them in the best way possible. But you know, I'm just going to stay me, stay that hype, man, stay, you know, taking control in the defense, because I think that's how our defense rolls, is through the nickel. And I got to make sure I'm ready to, you know, take all the pressure that comes with that. So, yeah.
Yeah, how valuable was that the last couple of years, just being able to learn from Tyron both on and off the field, and just kind of be a sponge next to, you know, a guy like that?
Man, Tyron's a legend, bro. I think any young guy my age, and maybe a little bit younger and a little bit older, would have dreamed to play with him. But for me to be able to come in when he comes in back at home anyways, and just knowing what he's done in the past, you know, I was that sponge, kind of listening to everything he told me. But I had a lot of veterans around me, man. And I think, you know, Tyron was just one of those guys who it kind of hit home, because, you know, Marshawn was a leader in the room, but he led in a different way. But then Tyron being a vocal guy, just like me being a vocal guy, it was easy for me to just kind of, you know, cling toward him and hang out with him off the field and see how he is as a family man and what he does in the community, so that, you know, I can take that role. Not that he won't do it anymore, but me still playing here will allow me to kind of reach out to those different groups and you know, maybe start my own foundation and things like that here in the city.
You mentioned just that with the off the field stuff, you know, giving your time. And I know recently you donated a uniform and some supplies to the Leah Chase School. Mm-hmm. You mentioned being part of this community. That's something important to you. Part of the job of being a Saints player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, I think the biggest thing when it comes to playing at this level, man, is, you know, giving a lot of kids hope and letting them know that, you know, you can make it from anywhere. For me, it just hits a little bit closer just coming from a small town. And, you know, I know if I was a kid in you know, elementary school, middle school, high school, we would have had a Tennessee Titans player come, you know, my hopes and dreams would have been stronger. So being able to just do that, man, you know, just give back to the kids and just give them something to look forward to. I think I'd be cheating, you know, myself and what God blessed me with if all I did was try to put all my eggs on just being a great football player. So I just try to make sure that, you know, I'd be a great football player, but I'd be a great person off the field as well. Sometimes it can be hard, though, right? Kind of getting pulled every way. So you got to be emotionally intelligent, I would say, and just kind of know how much capacity you have within yourself, how much you can give, how much you can't give. But, you know, the biggest thing is just, you know, that want to on the inside of your heart and your mind is the most important thing.
All these new guys didn't get to experience the heat quite like this until today. Is that this kind of felt a little different out there, this temperature?
Yeah, man. I was mic'd up today, and I just kind of said it to the mic. I said, you know, this is what it's all about. Yeah. You know, this is New Orleans. This is what makes the city so strong. You know, just coming out here, and the fans is amazing, man. For them to sit out there and from the beginning of practice to the end, maybe even before then, man. You know, guys were, I mean, fans were there like 8. So, know, this is just what it is, though. And I think when you get drafted here, you know, you embrace this and you're thankful for it. And I know we'll look forward to going to L.A. But, you know, this is home. This is what we do. And so it was hot, but you got to find a way. And I think we did that today. Kind of hit a couple guys, right? But getting that first one out the way, I think guys will be ready for tomorrow. You know, once kind of put the pads on, you start kind of understanding how to hydrate, what to work on, what not to work on, so that you can make it through the practice.
Alante, thanks so much for the time, man. Appreciate you, your game, and everything you bring to this squad. Good luck going forward this season.
Yeah, appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Alante Taylor going into year four in black and gold. It seems like just the, you know, year ago that he was drafted, but that's not the case. Interesting season for him last year with the fact that all of a sudden became a factor as a pass rusher.
Well, you know, it's funny because he did and he didn't at the same time. Like, remember,
that was early on.
Three of his, what would he have, four sacks?
Right, correct.
Three of them came in the first game of the season. So he had three sacks in one game and one sack in 16 games, right? So there is some level of, I don't think they utilized it
enough.
Because the ability to get to the quarterback is there. And I don't know if they, I kind of feel like they went away from it when it's like, why weren't you using that more often? And I mean, that is in large part because he was playing on the outside for the second half of the season, right? Once Lattimore and Adebo were gone, you don't blitz your outside corners very often. And, you know, it's, and if you do, it's because you're desperate. So, you know, him playing in the slot this year, as I asked him, you know, he's modeling his game after Jalen Ramsey with the Rams, which is a good, it's pretty cool to be able to have a player like that that you can watch in the defense you're playing in and be able to kind of emulate that.
A guy who Brandon Staley also worked with when he was with LA.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right. He was in that defense. That was kind of his role, the star role, and that's what Alante has been watching a lot of to kind of figure out how he wants to play it. It's going to be interesting to see if the Saints decide to pay Alante this offseason. I think they probably should.
I feel like you need to.
Yeah, the problem is I think they're going to look at it and say, hey, this is how much a slot corner makes, and he's going to be like, well, I'm an outside corner.
I'm more than that, right.
How important am I to your defense? Because just I'm playing in the slot because y'all need me to play in the slot because this is an incredibly important piece to this defense. That just shouldn't be the reason you don't pay a guy. So we'll see. He's one of the few players, him, Rashid Shaheed, are like the two players I look at that could be, you know, it seems like the Saints try to extend at least one player every offseason prior to the start of the season. A couple years ago, that was Marshawn Lattimore. Then it was Cesar Ruiz. Last year was Pete Werner. So I wouldn't be surprised if they try to get something like that done. But again, it's going to be like, well, are you going to pay him at the slot corner rate? Or are you going to pay him at the top corner rate?
Yeah, it's tough with Taylor and Shaheed, both those players. You feel like the arrow's still going up with those guys.
Well, Shaheed should have no interest in signing something early. If I'm Rashid, I'm betting on myself because I think he's due for a monster year. He's healthy. He knows it. And that guy, like the Saints would be fortunate if he was like, let's get this done early, because I don't think, I mean, you'd be crazy to do that.
It could be a question, though, you know, with the quarterback concerns of how good of a year he can really have, though.
I mean, someone's got to catch the ball, man.
Someone's got to.
They're going to throw it. He's going to catch it. I'm excited for him. But no, Alante is going to be a very important piece in this defense. I think the communication, the leadership in the defense is very good. And so I'm hopeful that group can really kind of carry this team throughout what is almost inevitably going to be some struggles on offense.
I definitely hope he does get extended because you feel like he's one of the leaders.
He does
in
get
that
extended?
Room. I hope he does, yes.
I agree.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.